Please be seated. A text like this suggests a whole series of themes. Most obvious, perhaps, is the matter of the debt. The larger the debt forgiven, the greater the thankfulness on the part of the one who receives that forgiveness. Seminarians understand this, student loans and all. Here, a woman personally hears the word of absolution from the mouth of Jesus. There is, of course, also the strong missionary character of this text. Jesus going on through cities and villages, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, bringing the message of forgiveness and redemption, telling about the paying off of the debt to a people trapped by their indebtedness. That is to say, what happened individually for the woman also happens corporately. Namely, the really present Christ unburdens a burdened people through his word of absolution. Or we could consider the theme of reclining at table with the Pharisee. Keep your enemies close and your friends closer, we might say. Table fellowship in Luke is a dominant theme, as others have said from this pulpit repeatedly. Or perhaps we could also stress the diaconal theme of this text, where women like Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Susanna and nameless others provide for Jesus and the 12, as the text says, out of their means. All appropriate themes for this text. However, I would like to suggest another theme. Consider for a moment feet. That's right, feet. We take our feet for granted most of the time, but when things go wrong with your feet, there's really nothing worse. A few weeks ago, my wife dropped a big can of ravioli on her big toe and broke her toe. Not knowing that she had done so, she walked upon it for the next several weeks, causing excruciating pain for herself. I have arthritis in my right ankle, and there are days when I can barely move. Other days, it's okay. I only seem to notice my feet when there's a problem. This text points us to the feet of Jesus. Yes, there is the banquet and the conversation with the Pharisees, but then in the midst of it, Luke records the word, behold. Behold, there was a woman in the city, and she was a sinner. And suddenly this very formal banquet takes a strange turn. The woman does not belong. What is worse, she begins to do the most inappropriate thing you could think of, crying over, kissing Jesus' feet. She creates a scene and no doubt terribly embarrasses her host. And one has to ask, what in the world is going on? How many times have you greeted a person with a hug and a formal smooch on the cheek? Close, but not too close. That's just what you do, right? Maybe to an aunt or to a grandma. But how many times have you greeted a person by kissing their feet? If that is your practice, I'm not really sure I want to know about it. Simply put, we don't do it. It is too close, too personal, and frankly, too demeaning. With a kiss to the face, we get a hint of perfume, but hopefully we don't mess up the makeup. With feet, you get stinky, sweaty, all too human realities. But Christ knows all about these all too human realities. He knows all about the weakness and frailty of our human condition, both physically and, of course, spiritually. And it is specifically to address our need that he takes on human flesh and enters our existence. And his presence impacts all with whom he comes into contact. Simply put, this text tells us about two very different reactions to Jesus and his feet, delight and rejection. The Pharisee rejects Jesus. Why? Simply because he has no need of him. Moral, upright, self-possessed, the Pharisee has no debt that needs repayment. at least in his mind. And so when the kingdom of God is in his midst, before him, he doesn't see it. He refuses to see it. Indeed, he cannot see it. And as such, he does not welcome Christ with water for his feet or even the most basic kiss. This Pharisee thinks he has all things, and as such, has nothing. The woman, on the other hand, has nothing except the good news of the kingdom, that in Christ there is forgiveness of sins. And despite her sinfulness, in fact, because of her sinfulness, she flees to her only hope of redemption. And having found him, she hears yet again the words that give life and hope to the despairing: "Your sins are forgiven." Here, out of thankfulness for what Christ has done, the woman washes and anoints Christ's feet. She does this only because of Christ's presence and his work on her behalf, because of the good news. Simply put, her great love and service are the result of Jesus forgiving her sins because of Jesus' work on her behalf. For her, the really present Christ fulfilled the Old Testament text, Isaiah 52:7, so well known to us all. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" For as we know, the picture of this text is turned around during Passion Week, when Jesus himself adopts the posture of a servant and washes the feet of his disciples. Here, the eternal, almighty God humbles himself to the point of washing clean that which we have dirtied, not from some need of his own, for he has none, but because of our need. The love of Christ is such that he must serve, he must wash, he must eat with sinners, and he must go to the cross, where a nail is pounded into those blessed feet. And so he continues to do today. The really present Christ washes us in the font, speaks to us the life-giving word of absolution, and feeds us with his body and blood, even we sinners. And Christ's pattern of service will shape your own ministry as future pastors and potential pastors and servants of the church. Today, Christ uses the feet of others to take the gospel into all the world. Those preparing for the office of the ministry will find yourselves serving, washing with water, and speaking the word of absolution, and eating Christ's body and blood with sinners who do not, who cannot wash, eat, or serve themselves. So in the end, it is not about the Pharisee or the woman. It is all about Christ, the one who serves, and the forgiveness he has won for all. That Christ is present with us now and invites us to his feast. The Isaiah text quoted before is well known. Not as well known is Nahum 1:15. Where Isaiah is descriptive, Nahum speaks to our immediate circumstances. He writes, "Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feasts, O Judah." Let us keep the feast which he has appointed for us and receive there our present forgiving Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.